think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Batts with Charles Spicer, whose wonderfully rich new book is a telling of the period of the 1930s prior to the catastrophe of the Second War that fills in the missing pieces of the conversation between Berlin and London as they circled each other, saying, we're not going to do that again. We're not going to destroy another civilization. We must find a way. 1936. The presumption is that, oh, well, Hitler's threatening, but he won't move before the Olympics. He does. He just did. He moved into the Rhineland. And now the Olympics, an opportunity again for the two cultures to deal with each other in a positive way. Again, our protagonists are amateur spies, but they're professional, German-speaking seekers of peace. They're seeking a way to avoid the catastrophe of the Great War. And they are all invited to the Olympics, including those who are sympathetic with the Nazis, with Hitler in particular. And von Sittard is wined and dined, the most important civil servant, if I understand correctly, with a massive office in government and great power, can pick up a phone and call anybody. He's wined and dined by the Germans. What does he make of it, Charles?
Well, he comes back alarmed, alarmed by the regime, but somewhat placated because the Nazis do wine and dine him so effectively. It's a very good question. He wasn't wrong, because that's a high point in Hitler's positive perception of Britain. And he genuinely did want peace. He wasn't just playing a game at that point with the British. Now, the terms of the deal he would have wanted with Britain would have been a Faustian pact, which would be, you give me free hand on continental Europe to do what I want, and I won't interfere with your empire. And that never would have been acceptable. I think most historians agree on that. But he still thought he had a chance with that. So he was genuinely charming to von Sittard and charmed by him.
Yes, we come again. Charles's books is filled with so many lavish dinners and wonderful receptions. This is August of 1936, which we remember as the Olympics, and the heroism of the contestants, especially the heavyweight crew that defeats the Germans, all celebrated. But what is actually going on is in the stands. That's what we must pay attention to, those attending. There is a lawn party at the Ribbentrops. I have this as 600 guests, one of them, of course, von Sittard. And we introduce our villain again, because von Ribbentrop, Ribbentrop at this point, is still maneuvering to be promoted within the Nazi regime. He has a meaningless title right now, but he wants to go to London. Does von Sittard regard Ribbentrop as someone of weight? What does he make of him, Charles?
No, he doesn't. And his brother-in-law, Sir Eric Phipps, who is the British ambassador to Berlin at the time, is particularly dismissive of Ribbentrop. He's an intellectual lightweight. He's very poorly educated. He's very insecure. He's very thin-skinned. He's snobbish. He can't concentrate. He can't read documents of more than a few pages. He really struggles with writing. He needs lots of civil servants to help him. Von Sittard and his brother-in-law correctly predict that Ribbentrop would be a disaster.
At this time, the dictator wants to meet Stanley Baldwin, the prime minister. However, that is not possible. That is not Baldwin's personality. That's not going to happen. So the Anglo-German Fellowship, specifically Philip Conwell Evans, has an idea. It's a substitute. And that is the whole story of Coffee with Hitler is going to turn around this next moment, because not only will Baldwin not go, but also Lloyd George, David Lloyd George, will attend. We have just a moment here to introduce our most amazing character before he has coffee with Hitler. Who is Lloyd George now in 1936? What does he represent to Europe?
Well, David Lloyd George had been the prime minister who'd taken over in the middle of the Great War from Asquith, and was widely credited for having won the war, at least from a British perspective. He was a political titan. He was a liberal, at one point a colleague with Churchill. And I think in the simplest terms, many of the politicians of that era were pygmies when you compare them against Churchill and Lloyd George, who, even though Churchill crosses the floor and becomes a conservative, they remain close friends and rivals for the rest of time. And those two individuals, you know, they're essential to any understanding of the political landscape in Britain in between the wars.
Your book helped me solve something I didn't know I didn't understand. During the Norwegian debate, after the Norway failure, this is 1940, Hitler, the blame can be visited upon Churchill entirely because he ran the operation. And I believe at that moment in Parliament, because the debate was going again, Churchill comes out and takes responsibility. I did it. I made all the mistakes. Lloyd George stands up and defends him. And I've always puzzled why that happened and how amazing it was, because within moments, Churchill will be prime minister after the, this is April of 1940. So their relationship is a mystery, but what your book makes clear is that everybody had to have a relationship with Lloyd George. He was the eminence grise of Parliament? Is that how he was regarded?
He was what they call the father of the house, which is a sort of longer standing, most senior member of Parliament. And he remains a member of Parliament long after he'd stopped being a minister or prime minister. Always with ambitions to come back into the cabinet. And he volunteers for various cabinet roles. But they have a national government, so they have people from both sides of the party. But I don't think Baldwin never offered him one. And Chamberlain absolutely hated Lloyd George because Lloyd George was so critical of Chamberlain. And arguably he should or could have brought him back into the cabinet because he was a very effective minister.
And would have been a helpmate given what Chamberlain went through after 1938. But that's in the future. I just thank Charles for solving a speech for me. I didn't know where it came from in April of 40. All right, now the recommendation is made, and Ribbentrop will take credit for it, but it was really Conwell Evans who charms the Lloyd George, and Lloyd George who charms everyone. The Welsh wizard, he's called. And we're going to go to Coffee with Hitler at Berghof, thanks to Charles Spicer. The new book, Coffee with Hitler, The Untold Story of the Amateur Spies Who Tried to Civilize the Nazis. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.